Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for a wonderful opportunity to share your precious word today. And as it goes forth, not just here in this place, but all who will view it online, I pray that this message will speak to your hearts as well. In Jesus' name, we pray and ask these things. Everybody said, amen. Turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9 is the key passage. You thought Psalms was? Well, that could have been. There's many aspects of the American life that we really love. But I believe our nation is in perilous, perilous times. There's many people that are unaware of this truth, however. Some can't seem to see the danger. Others are deliberately ignoring the warning signs. Now you just imagine you came across a back road in the night and you realized there was a bridge out, completely out. Because of all the raining, the flood washed the bridge out. And you were the first one there to see that the bridge was gone. What would you do to those who are behind you, who are oncoming? What would you do? Would you just sit there in your car and just wait for them to plunge over? Or would you warn them? You see, that's what we should be doing as a church. We need to be warning. But we're missing the signs. We don't see the signs. We're missing it. There's lots of signs. And we need to be warning. We need to be like those in the watch in the towers, and they were watching from the towers. And they would give warning. They would blow a trumpet in those days. Many are deliberately ignoring the warning signs. And then there's some that just don't care what happens to our country. Isn't that sad? They just don't care. It's easy to be lulled to sleep. Change happens so slowly. Then suddenly we wake up and realize that America today looks nothing like it did in the past. I think if my grandpa was living today, boy, would he have a lot to say. The dangers that await us, if we continue down the path, will become painfully obvious. Nations and cultures change, but I can tell you, the Bible does not change. And its principles remain the same. We can't keep doing whatever we want in this country and expect the Lord to continually bless us. It's not going to happen. We can sing about it, but it's not going to happen. Galatians 6, 7 through 8, we are warned, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows in the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. So, for us today, we must consider what kind of seed are we sowing in our lives, in our churches, in our nation. Are we expressing? Are we standing courageously for our beliefs? Do our biblical convictions determine how we vote? I get people, they say they don't know how to vote. That just pushes my buttons. I don't know how to vote. You don't know how to vote? Wow. Are you an ostrich? Do you have your head in the sand?
Do you have a radio? Do you have fake news?
That's what you're watching, fake news. Amen is right. If you're listening to that, it's no wonder you don't know how to vote. Oh, some of you waking up. Did you actually know we had fake news? Why don't you do some fact checking? Then you'll find out we have fake news. Hello or shame on you, one or the other. You're going to hear it today. You can't say your pastor never told you because you're going to hear it today. So if you don't want to hear it, you might as well be dismissed and go because you're going to hear it. I'm here to tell you. You may not be here to hear it, but I'm here to tell you. Very rarely do I get on politics from the pulpit because I don't believe the pulpit's for that. Did you hear me? This pulpit, nor the one that's down here on the floor, is not for that. It's for the teaching of God's word only. It's not for opinions, because your opinion don't count anyway. Your opinions are like eyeballs. Everybody has one. Your opinion don't mean nothing. God's word is what means something. And that's what should be proclaimed from these pulpits. Nothing else. I've had lots of opportunity to say lots of things, but I keep my mouth shut because I know this is not the place to say it. Now, in the foyer or out in the parking lot, help yourself, but not here. Not here. Ooh, don't hear many amens on that. What kind of seed are you sowing? We can no longer take for granted all the blessings of the past because the harvest is near. It's much more near than you think. Our nation is continually turning from righteousness to wickedness. In the past, we would never have imagined that we would someday tolerate and accept so much evil and call it right and good. I can tell you the future does not look promising for the next generation who will reap what we have sown. I don't know about you, but I'm concerned about my children and grandchildren. And it's time to do something about it. I'm not sitting by anymore. I'm going to get loud. And noisy, because I've had enough. It's time for Christians to stand up from the White House to the church house. Because if you don't, your children are going to pay the price. We cannot continue to deny or ignore the things that are going on, thinking that life will continue as normal, undisturbed by the perilous conditions around us. Denial simply reveals that we have failed to heed Paul's warning not to be deceived. Every single one of us will be affected by the state of our nation. We as Christians may not have sown that evil that seems to permeate our culture, but the church has been too quiet about it for too long. And it's time for God's people to take a deliberate and courageous stand for the truth and show that we are genuine believers and not merely those who profess to know Christ. Now I want to give you some signs of a nation in compromise. Let's start with immorality. The culture will be driven by a desire for sexual freedom and indulgence that mocks genuine sexuality. In the beginning,
Jesus said it wasn't like this. When he was asked by the Pharisees about divorce and remarriage, he said it wasn't like this from the beginning. It was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Hello, are you with me? This is a new morality. This is a new political correctness. God help us. Boy, we could start with abortion. Life is no longer considered sacred because we no longer consider God as sacred. Do you know how many abortions take place every day? Does anyone know? Does anybody know that figure? 2,300 a day. Does anybody here ever seen an abortion? Did you ever watch it on a video? Thank you. If you'd ever see it, you'd never want another abortion done. It's cruel. It's nasty. They go in like pliers and just start pulling the body parts. Whatever they can get. If they get the head, they take the head off. Whatever they can grab. Now, I know that's gross, but I want everybody to get the message today. Don't call yourself a Christian and vote for abortion, because that don't wash. That just don't wash. It don't wash. I hear some of these that talk so much and even go along with going to the very end of this last stage of pregnancy and still think it's okay to abort. Horrible. Horrible. What does God think about it? It's real simple. Just read your Bible. When Cain killed Abel, God said, "Where's your brother?" He said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Where's your brother, Cain? You know what God told him? Your brother's blood cries to me from the ground. Imagine how many cries our Lord hears every day when the babies are aborted. Imagine the cries he hears. Shame on us. We're not Americans. We're animals. If you believe in that kind of stuff, that's savagery. I'm telling you like it is because I hate abortion and so should you. Greed. People will do whatever it takes to acquire wealth, including cheating, stealing, or lying, whatever it takes. More signs of compromise. Pride. There'll be a sense of false confidence. People will think they don't need God because they can get whatever they want without him. How about that? That's why people don't pray. They don't think it works. For some people, probably don't work out too well. I want to talk about prayer one of these days and find out what it's going to take for you to get prayers answered. How many of you have prayers that aren't answered yet? I do. I'm ashamed of it. I want to know. I want to know what I got to do. Lord, you tell me what I got to do because I want this prayer answered. And I'm sorry, but I have a desire that I want this prayer answered, and I hope it's yours too. I hope we're on the same page on this. But if it's something I'm doing, show me. Let me know what it is, because I'll get rid of it. That's how bad I want this prayer answered. I'll do whatever you want me to do, Lord. Just tell me what you want. You see, you got to be sincere. You have to have a heart that's sincere before God. And don't be afraid to let the Holy Spirit shine in your light to make sure you get rid of those things that's hindering your prayer life and that's hindering from that prayer being answered.
If it's repentance, repent. That's a word nobody likes to hear anymore. I remember we'd spend hours at the altar in repentance. Hours. Our church services, they are nothing compared to the services I grew up with. People ain't sorry for anything anymore. Are you sorry for your sin? We're being inoculated by the terrible culture we're living in. We're being desensitized. How about indulgence? They will search in vain for self-fulfillment and happiness because true satisfaction only comes in obedience to God. Here's another sign of compromise, slothfulness. People will become dependent, no longer striving to do their best, but expecting others to take care of them. Woo! Hello! Boy, if that didn't get you awake, let's see if I have something down here, it will. Somebody got rid of my squeaky horn. Ungratefulness. Pride causes people to forget and take for granted all the blessings they've enjoyed by being part of this country. Irreverence, how about that? Having laid aside God's word, nothing is sacred anymore, and God is no longer revered. He's no longer respected. We've kicked him out of every public area we can get rid of him in. And don't be surprised if someday they'll get rid of this. You listening? And also the song we sang. They'll have to make that politically correct. Where do we stop? It's nuts. It's crazy what's happening in our nation. I never thought I'd be around long enough to see this demise. So that brings us to the danger of judgment. Because we've chosen the way of sin rather than godliness, our nation is facing judgment. However, if we as the people of God would stand up, speak up, and live out our faith and convictions with boldness, there would be hope. Amen. Do you know what I think about our current presidency? By the way, I think he'll get in for another 4 years, whether you like it or not, by a landslide, because people are sick of what they're seeing. And don't go by the polls. That didn't work too well last time. So forget the polls. There's only North Pole and South Pole, and that's it. That's the only polls you need to remember, because the other ones don't work. I'm talking a little more political than I like to. I just want to try to tell you the truth. And we need to wake up, folks. Amen. We've got to wake up. Amen. The only way things will change is if we will commit ourselves to live in obedience to Him and refuse to compromise our convictions. No matter what the cost, we must not yield to compromise by remaining silent. I'm soon finished. America has become its own enemy. Its conscience has become dull and insensitive. Today, truth is whatever each person wants it to be. And a sense of respect and reverence for the things of God has been lost. We as Christians believe God's word and we want to live righteously. But you see, the society around us has forsaken the Lord. The ideals and the values upon which our nation was founded have been taken away from us. What was once righteous and good has been surrendered to the pursuit of freedom to do whatever one pleases. But there's still hope. If we wake up and face the reality of this condition and stand for truth, just as the founders of this nation did. 2 Chronicles 7:13 and 15 is a scripture that's very appropriate, and you've heard it many times. It's God's promise regarding Israel's restoration. After experiencing his judgment because of the rebellion against him, this passage was specifically given to the nation of Israel, but the principles in verse 14 can be applied to us Christians today. If my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, that's repentance, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. What part of that don't you understand? Real simple. If you want to turn, but there's too many that don't want to turn. They'd rather stick to their pleasures of sin for a season. They think that's a better thing to do. When they draw their last breath, we'll see how that turns out for them. Humble ourselves. I'm just going to explain that. It means that we are to acknowledge God as Lord of our lives, subject ourselves to his commands and his principles, and ask him to search our hearts. That's humbling ourselves. Pray. We must begin to consistently intercede for our nation. We need to pray for our nation. Listen to me. There ain't no better place to live in America. I've been to Russia. I saw how socialism works firsthand there. I saw the dilapidated buildings that's supplied by the government for people to live in. And they all crowd in on one particular floor called a flat. We call it a rental. They call it flat. I've seen the people come to the towns and cities and lay a blanket on the sidewalk to sell their produce. I've seen that. And I tell you, if I could take every one of you to Russia right now today and get you to spend just a couple days, you'd come back and you'd wonder what happened that we can have somebody run that's a socialist in America. Hello. Hello. I never thought I'd see that day. You know how he got them? They're the college kids. They're the university students. They came from Christian colleges that were willing to accept federal money. Federal money said to the colleges that you got to have so much teachers, so many professors. And now they have socialistic professors that have taken the spots of Christian professors. And that's why we're producing this generation that believes socialism is okay. Don't send your kids to college. Get them a job. Until colleges are restored and different, you might as well get the grandkids to get a job. They'd be further ahead than to lose their soul. Trust me. Losing your soul is much more. Seek God's face. Come before the Lord. We ask him to show us his will for our nation in every area of our lives so we can live as he desires. Then turn from our sins as the Lord shows us issues in our lives that aren't right. We must repent of these sins and turn back to him in obedience. You see, the responsibility of intercession rests on each and every one of us here today. Repentance begins with us, not the world. We are the ones who must humble ourselves, pray, and seek the Lord and turn from sin so God can revive his church and heal our land. Amen. What signs have you seen indicating that America has turned away from the Lord? And has this motivated you to consistently pray for our nation? If not, what seems to be distracting you? One of the requirements for answered prayer is humility and repentance. So what would humbling yourself involve? What thoughts and attitudes, words or actions should you discontinue to become an effective intercessor for our nation and your family? We need that more and more than ever today. Scotty, come. And the rest of our choir, come. I'm finished. But there's so much more to do. I really just got started. There's so much to do. We must work while it's yet day. For Jesus said, the night is coming and no man can work. Book of James says, if there's any sick among you, let them call upon the elders of the church. I'd be considered a chief elder. That's it. Just a chief elder. Nothing more. Let them call upon the elders of the church, and I'm anointed with oil, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. If they commit any sins, they shall be forgiven of them. So we're going to open the altar up this time for you to come. If there's any healing that you need, you come. We're going to pray with you. You know, I want you to understand something, that by your coming here and being anointed doesn't eliminate your problem. Sometimes God's the one that gave you your problem. And your coming up here isn't going to change that. You see, God loves you. And if you're involved in something, he's chastising you. And you're coming up here and being anointed thinking, oh, I'll get rid of this chastisement. Ain't going to happen, sorry. It's not going to happen. That ain't going to happen. Because God loves you. He loves you so much. And sometimes you come up here and say, God, just eliminate the mountain so I don't have to climb it. And then God says, I'll give you the strength. Climb it. I'll give you the strength. Climb it. And that's sometimes how it works in our lives. Because I say, Lord, it's not my will, but it's thine. It's your will, Lord. It's yours. And I'm not sure about what's going on in my life. I don't know why it's happening. I don't know why God allowed it. Well, he allowed it perhaps because he loves you. He wants to save you. He wants to save your soul. You may have to go, we don't know how much we have to go through yet physically. We may have a lot of things we have to go through. But I can tell you this, God's strength is sufficient and he'll see you through. The battle is the Lord's and his strength is sufficient. All right, Scotty, come.